Hey, and welcome to Product Journeys. I'm Fran Gleisner.
And I'm Lachlan Robertson. We're both product managers stumbling our way through our product journeys. We're out to meet amazing product people and learn a bit more about their skills and experiences.
And welcome to our Reflections of Season 1. We've been doing this for a couple of years, and we thought it was a really good time to take a step back and think about what we'd like to do going forward. So we've decided to call it at Season 1. We wanted to reflect on all the amazing conversations we've been privileged enough to have over the last couple of years. We start with a few metrics, thanks to Spotify Wrapped, and then we talk through some of the things that surprised us, things that we learned, and things that resonated with us from all of the 42 episodes that we've done so far. And we wrap with the hardest question, which is, if there are any episodes we'd like to rerun, which ones would they be? And so maybe we will rerun these while we take a break over the next couple of months. We also had one person reply to our QA section in Spotify in response to episode 13, Penny Goodwin's Re-Examine Your Natural Biases, and said, oh my God, I love this episode so much, especially the chat about neurodiverse product people. Such an interesting conversation. So thanks heaps for that. I really appreciate anybody who's got in touch or chatted about episodes that they've liked. And finally, thank you. If you are listening to this, it means a huge amount to me. I hope you've enjoyed any episodes that you've listened to and learned half as much as I have. As always, and in particular with this wrap, please get in touch on LinkedIn or email us at productjourneyspodcast@gmail.com. I would love to know what surprised you, what you learned, and what resonated with you. So let's go. We're finishing off season one, and it has been an amazing season. Reviewing all of these episodes, it made me realize we've talked to some amazing people, and there is so much content, and, you know, just reminded of those conversations and each individual bringing flavor. Yeah, I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, I totally agree.
And the first thing I want to do before we get into our proper reflections is, you haven't actually seen this, but I looked at our Spotify Wrapped, and I've got some metrics for you from the past year, which is pretty exciting. So can you guess what episode has been streamed the most?
I reckon it's our first one, just because that'd be the one that people would click on after they've listened to anything else.
It's true. That has got a lot of streams.
Am I right?
No, it was number 8. Lauren Croft, Getting Comfortable, Getting Uncomfortable. And it was streamed 194% more than the average episode.
Wow. What did we do on that episode?
I don't know. A lot of people share. I think it was word of mouth, actually, because Lauren works at Sharesies. Don't know if she's still there, but she shared it with her network. So 16% of new listeners over this past year started at that episode. What's our top country?
I mean, you'd hope it's New Zealand, but
it's New Zealand, 79%. Although we've been streamed in 32 countries, which is
very cool.
So the top ones are New Zealand, Australia, US, and UK, and then India.
There you go.
We are the number one podcast for 52 fans. So 52 people at Product Journeys is their top, and we're in the top 10 for 199 people.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. Isn't that cool?
Obviously, couldn't do it without all of our listeners, so it's nice.
Well, exactly. Sweet. So, yeah, we've got 42 episodes down, and I was just thinking how it's evolved over time, and remembering that we started with the framework of a set of questions that we asked, and then we...
Yeah, that were real rigid, right? Like, every episode, yeah.
And then we added the reflections, and we added the intros, and then we went from internal zero, where we were both focused and working, to external people, focusing on Aotearoa product, and then created LinkedIn and the website. And now I guess here we are today. And that's our podcast journey.
For me, it's just been really interesting going through the process of even creating a podcast. Like back when we first started, we had no idea what we were doing. And over time, we've learned a few more things. I think we're still on the the greener side of professional podcast production. But I think it has been cool just evolving through the process, going from how do we actually create an engaging episode for people, and is it okay to go off script and ask questions because we're interested about things? I think that's been a really cool part to just experiment within that. Mm-hmm. But I think at the same time, like even those stats playing back, that's awesome to hear. But it's also been really interesting for us as product people to try and work out how do we know we're on the right track, and how do we know that things are actually working for our listeners? And that's, I think, still one of our biggest challenges. So I think that'll be a thing to continue to reflect upon, is how do we know we're being successful, which as product people, we should always be asking. So I think that's been my main thing, is just working out what that has looked like, really.
Totally. That's so true. Like treating it as a product, which is really nice as well. You know, thinking about the marketing or why certain episodes do well. Is it what theme or context or content are we talking about? And does that make a difference? And also experimenting, which has been fun.
Yeah, totally.
Sweet. Some of the things I realized as I was listening through is the diversity of backgrounds that we talk about. And so many people talk about stumbling into product. And that's something that I think it was a hypothesis probably going into asking about product journeys. But yeah, it's been such a learning or realization that actually most people don't really know what product is and then end up there for one reason or another.
Totally. And it makes sense because there's no course at university that you get your product management degree. So it is one of those semi-organic paths, but yeah, a crazily diverse set of backgrounds that we've talked to. Everything from the classic maybe engineer or project manager through to people that I think worked in radio and other stuff before that.
Civil engineering.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
One of my favorite sections is the rapid fires. I think I expected there to be more crossover or more people bringing up the same book or article or framework as well. And actually, there are so many different books and articles that people raised and frameworks as well. And I think that was the other thing going in. I was like, oh, I want the secret sauce. What's the framework I should be using? And it depends, as you always say. It really depends.
Yeah, you're not wrong. But I think it was still great to hear how those particular tools or frameworks or things that they had as their go-tos worked in their context as well. Building on those examples, I think for me were the really useful parts of that as well. But yeah, you're right. There is no one way to do product management. I think that's still my constant learning.
Yeah. Were there any frameworks or tools that stood out for you?
There was one that Ramanan talked about, his success triangle. I think that was one of it.
Ramanan, he talked about the 1 hour, one pager, which I really liked. You should spend an hour writing up something or putting slides together, and then after that hour, you show someone. Don't work in a silo. A few people brought up like the viable, usable, feasible framework. So Ramanan and Kevin in episode 2 and Martha in episode 28. So yeah, it was interesting hearing threads across.
I think Niall, who was episode 26, when he talked about the affinity diagrams, which was just a formalized version of clustering things, but it was like, oh, that actually has a name. It's a legit thing.
Yeah, actually, that was a really good one. Talking of things that resonate, Niall talked about curiosity and strong opinions held loosely. I feel that sort of willingness to change. And he talked about the purpose of planning, actually. Like the purpose of planning isn't to get a plan in place that you're going to execute on perfectly, because that never happens. So it's being willing to change, and therefore you kind of have to be a bit curious in general about when things go wrong. And I think Sarah in episode 19 talked about that as well, as when you fail, you've got to be curious to really kind of dig into why did it go wrong, rather than getting really angry about things going wrong or feeling, you know, feeling really down about it. Like if you can switch that to curiosity.
Totally. And I think getting past the almost personal pride part of it and being like, no, it's a product. Yes, it is our babies when we're shepherding it through, but it's, yeah, that level of, I guess, kind of detachment towards stuff around, like, no, this is, it's still a binary experiment, potentially, like, does it work, does it not? Yeah, you're right. And I think, like, that theme of curiosity was across a lot of, at least people's approach, even in the most recent one, talking about, yeah, that curiosity factor as well, and how just as people, like, products, people are naturally more curious or creative, perhaps, than I guess, other professions.
Yeah, because the other question we asked in our more structured approach was what skills product managers have or should have. And listening back, communication came out time and time again on top. Things like metrics and stakeholder management and customer empathy or understanding the customer came out too, but communication was so important. But then Phil, I think in episode 13, talked about the traits rather than the skills, like curiosity, empathy, so having empathy for the customer and empathy for your teammates, and high agency, which I really liked. So almost being like a go-getter. And you were talking about Kiwis going on, what is it? What's number 8 wire reference?
I just like the DIY in our DNA, and actually going out there and if you see a problem, trying to solve it.
Yeah, which I feel like is tied to that high agency.
No, totally.
But I think, yeah, we kind of think about skills more often than traits in a way. But I really like the idea of separating those out and thinking about skills that you can learn and develop through courses and things like that. Whereas traits, I feel, are sort of more value-based and probably differ between people more.
Yeah, and I think it'd be one of those things, can you teach traits? Maybe not as the same as skills, right?
Yeah.
People are just the way they are sometimes, yeah. Right? If you naturally want to empathize with people like customers or your stakeholders to understand where they're coming from, that's really powerful. But if you don't have that or don't care, then it drains you more to focus on those areas. So yeah, I think that's really, really, really good call out from Bill. I think the other one that Tim Nyman from episode 32 talked about was that concept of embracing the messy middle as well. And I guess a trait for product people is being able to navigate uncertainty. And I think a lot of people talked about that as well, of being comfortable not having all the answers and leaning into the spaces. Yeah, we don't actually know, but we can go find out. And that being a really important part as well. So back to our theme of curiosity, similar type of idea there. But yeah, at the same time, if you then can't communicate that and get those ideas across to land with the audience and tell a story, I think was the other really important types of communication that came up, was like the impact of storytelling and getting it to sort of resonate with people being a key part of our jobs as well.
Yeah, storytelling for sure, and visual communication. I know Ben Watts talked about that quite early on, episode 10, of how as a designer that's helped quite a lot, like those visual, you know, if you see a slide pack, steal it, because it, you know, if it's a good looking slide pack, yeah, then take it and use it. And also I think answer first communication was another thing that came up, which I know has,
again, like who we were communicating stuff to, right? I think that was maybe in the context of senior leaders, give them the thing that they want first up front, and then if they have more questions, then you can back it up with extra things.
Yeah, and they don't have much time, and they're very direct. So you got to be ready for that, and tailoring your communications upwards and downwards, they're different communications. And then thinking about going back to the skills and the traits, I guess one of the main reasons why we started this podcast was around career progression and the gap. And it doesn't feel like there's a huge amount of resource or focus on that necessarily. And so as a product community, it's really helpful to kind of get together and work that out together. And there were some episodes which I thought were really interesting in terms of little pointers on, well, career progression, growing teams. So Niall in episode 26 talked about stepping back or taking time to actually step back and think about where you are in your career. What do you need? Sarah also said in episode 19, she was at a space where she was thinking, what do I need as my next step in my career? It's not about, oh, here's a good looking job, I'm going to go for it. It's actually thinking about what you need rather than just looking through jobs and being like, that looks cool. The last one was Miranda, and she was asking her niece, what is your first career? There are multiple careers for sure in product. We're seeing that, right? People have careers before product and then they get into product and maybe they'll have careers after they're a product.
Totally. Yeah. And I think for me as well, as a dude, hearing from some amazing female product leaders that had went away on maternity leave, et cetera, and coming back from that and having both the space in their jobs to do it, but also, I guess, working through the process of actually getting back into the workforce and what that sort of transition mentally might look like, because what they valued perhaps before having children might be very different afterwards. And it was also fascinating just working through those conversations. And I guess the process that you go through of, like, Maria talked about it during her episode, where she had a year at home on the couch, and she, I think, described it as getting quite bored and that she needed to have that stimulation. So sometimes it's almost a reinforcing of why the job of product is really exciting, because it is something that you have to constantly be engaged with and thinking about how you move from where you are to the next point. So that was really fascinating for me. And I think going back to Niall, you were talking about, I think one of the things he mentioned was about when you work out the areas you want to get into, or the perhaps the skills or the things you need to develop, going finding someone who's good at those things and reaching out to them and going to talk about it and actually leaning into stuff. And I think in more recent episodes with Liam, and then also with Melissa just now, when they talked about talking with your finance team, that when you don't understand things like the profit and loss and how a product actually makes money, that's a really big gap as far as a fundamental product skill. And especially when you're moving up towards the ranks, getting away from the day-to-day execution and stepping back to that more strategy level, you need to understand how you're making money and how things are driving. So I think that was a really interesting example of a specific skill and then how to go out and find it.
Yeah, that is very true. And I do think that surprised me, looking at that missing 33%. She talks about the manager who had a female leader and a male leader, and the female leader he helped grow confident, and then the male leader he helped with the business acumen. He didn't even think about it, and I don't think we do. So yeah, that's a really good learning.
Yeah, what you touched on there as well is like that concept of your biases, and I can't remember for the life of me talked about it. Who was it?
Where is it? Penny Goodwin.
Yeah, right. As part of being a good product person, not just settling for the status quo and stuff. And that wasn't just around the products that you're making and how you're putting it out to your audience, but also looking at things like your process around how you solve problems. And she talked a lot about working with people with neural diversity and how we should be actively thinking about how we work as a product team and how can we get the most out of our people. So that was really interesting for me. It was be like, oh, yeah, you're totally right. I just assumed because this thing worked at my previous company, it's going to work again at the new company, rather than actually thinking about the humans behind the process, the things that should work and things that shouldn't.
It is so true. That resonated with me because Bailey in episode 22 and Tanya actually in episode 30 both talked about that diversity, but also more than that is really understanding the people and their backgrounds and where they've come from and how they work. And that, I think Penny kind of tied that up in a really nice summary, but just, yeah, understanding each individual's strength and what they bring to a team. I think we talked with Penny about how that takes time and it is actually quite hard to do. But if you value that and can see the strength that team can have after doing that, then it's really awesome to spend the time doing it.
Totally. And then I think on the different end of that spectrum, Alina Ashenbaeva, we talked a lot about developing, I think, programs in community, in particular for like health initiatives, and just, yeah, going into different communities and actually testing your assumptions around what works and what doesn't, and both the power of the community for something to grow and resonate, but also when you don't get it right, it's just a handbrake, like things don't progress. And I think that was really interesting for me, just around when you're trying to target a product as such, how do you go through the process of actually empathizing properly with your audience and doing good discovery? Because as we know, when you're going through stuff, half of your assumptions may actually be wrong, and you need to actively challenge those things. So that was another great reminder, just, you know, classic product craft of actually go out and talk to your customers, but also just the way in which you do prototypes and test things out, I think was fascinating. A few people talked about that as well.
Yeah, the assumptions that I really liked. I think Stacey Scott, in episode 11, talked about risks and assumptions, especially with people changes. If you're planning to make big changes with your teams, that is actually the most really important thing to do, which you probably wouldn't think about, right? Like, what are the risks? What are the assumptions? What are the issues going to be? And how do we mitigate for those things and internal team changes, which is very cool.
Totally. And I mean, selfishly, that was a thing that I went through during the redundancy episode, right? It was a big change, and it's the process in which that happens and how you deal with those changes as well is also a really interesting skill as part of the world of product, the constant change you have to deal with, and thinking about how do you navigate through those and going through. Sometimes stuff doesn't work all the time and go your way. How do you push through that and stay true to what you sort of value?
For sure. Is there one particular thing that you can put your finger on that surprised you, resonated with you, and one key learning? Is that too hard?
Even just walking through all these episodes, it's just great. All of the people that we've been lucky enough to talk to, all of them had some amazing, amazing gems. Surprised me. I think a lot of it has just come back to, in a way, how diverse the product skill set is, and just the constant stuff of, oh God, that's another thing that I need to think about. That just when I've got my picture of what product management is, there was another thing that creeped in. So I think that was the, and it's not a specific one. Sorry to dodge the question.
I mean, I totally agree. I think similar to you, I've just been blown away by the diversity, as I talked about, the range of frameworks and books. And I think reflecting on going in, I was like, oh, there's going to be some secret sauce or thread. And I think that ties into the assumptions and the biases. I think I need to more often question my assumptions and biases is probably more what I need to reflect on. I think that has surprised me.
Yeah. And then so on the what resonated with me, Fran, I think it's mainly just around the discovery aspects of going out and actually talking to people, and in particular, like having a strong hypothesis that you're looking to validate. I think the people from Trade Me, so Tim and then Nicole and Sue, talked a lot about basically the process of actively learning and I guess not quite failing, but looking at experimenting with things in the way that you're actively trying to test your assumptions. That's something that we talk about all the time as product people. So it was reassuring to hear that, yes, that is an important thing, especially at a big company like Trade Me, that you need to do it and it's important to do it.
Nice. Yeah, it's really nice hearing from people who work in the same organization and saying very similar things as well. What resonated with me is probably more of the people factor. I know, for example, a lot of people talked about being grateful for people. And I think that was one thing that stood out there. Also talking about psychological safety and culture, I think for me is the reason it's such a huge factor for me to come to work. Yeah, so that I think was the thing that resonated. And then major learning.
Yeah, I'm just, this one honestly was just constant like learning of little things for me. One of the areas that I guess I'm learning more about, and it's something that in my role at Flick now is a huge part of our culture, but looking at how you think about the Māori and Pākehā interaction and how there are different cultural factors at play. And I think chatting to Miriam Royal was just talking about how I guess formulating strategies in that space isn't something that you can be tokenistic about and just do it, you know, good enough. You actually should embrace the process properly and actively think about how you can be respectful and thoughtful around how you engage and interact with different cultures. I think for me, that was really, really powerful and something that actually made me pause and be like, yeah, you're totally right. And also just as a white male from down south, just highlighted the gap that I have in my knowledge area that I need to lean into and actually understand a bit more.
Love it. That's probably something that we don't, maybe in the private sector, it doesn't have as much weight. And in the public sector is huge, you know, it comes in every day. So it's really cool if that's spreading that word a little bit more. One of my learnings is probably around the theme of failure, which is failure's hard. I still don't think that we've cracked it. You know, I think we tried to really dig into it with a few of the conversations we had with Sarah Cunliffe. And I feel like for humans, failure is just, you don't want to fail. But I think the idea of it is so important. I guess, yeah, learning that it's still really hard and trying to think about ways that you can create a space to fail. Like, I think that's the thing that I've tried to kind of think about more and more. And then I guess linked to that, the idea of delivering quickly, or what is it? Delivering early and often maybe creates a space where you can fail and learn test, refine that whole thing.
Yeah, it's not a natural programming in a way, because so much of society is about winning and being successful and all of this stuff, right? That's, you know, what you're chasing sometimes in life is like, oh yeah, I want to be the most successful X thing. So that's where your mind naturally goes. But I think, yeah, you're right that to get there, you need to go through all of this grind and learning. And I think for me, from a sports background, that's something that I definitely resonate with, is when you first start at something, you suck at it. And that's really confronting a lot of times. To actually go through the process of getting better at something does take time and effort and sometimes heartbreak. I can't remember who said it, but if you're not shipping something that you're embarrassed by, you've waited too long. You need to get it out sooner so you can work out whether the thing actually makes sense or not. How do you create the environment for that and think about it? It's a whole nother level to it.
So good. Well, thank you very much for doing this season one reflection as we close off. If there was one episode that you would want to rerun, which one would it be?
Shit, that's a hard one.
I know, it's like your favorite. But maybe it's more where you feel like there were a lot of things that you learned or resonated with you.
I mean, I think we mentioned Niall's one before. That's a really good one. But one we haven't mentioned, Chloe Leon's. I felt like hers was just a really fundamental product management package. It's just talked about how to do good product. So I think that was a really powerful one for me. So I'll go with that.
I love it. Yeah, Niall's one was awesome. I think Tanya's and Alina's both resonated. Lots of fun. I really liked Tanya talking about one-on-ones filling her cup, and that was a thing, I guess, the people factor that resonated. But yeah, they're all really good. And then I realized, so Lauren's episode 18, our most shared, I was looking back and I was like, oh, she talks about listening to a podcast, The Imperfects. And I think I must have learned, and I listen to it every week that it comes out now. It's such a good podcast. So it's not a product one, but it's just a really good podcast. So I was like, ah, yes, go Lauren.
Nice. Yeah. No, and that's been the cool part of this, right? It's just all the little bits that we've picked up, and I hope our listeners have as well.
For sure. And thank you for being an amazing co-host and jumping in on questions when I am lost for words and like going off on tangents.
It's been a pleasure. And I think that's been the other cool thing as well, working with you. I think we both have different perspectives on our questions as well. We come at it from different angles. It's like, wow, I didn't even think of that question. That's a really great one. Good job, Fran.
Well, that's key. That's right. Our kind of values or backgrounds, I think, bring that as well. So I think that also adds a lot to it, because
having those two different perspectives and questions and going down different rabbit holes, I think, is awesome. And it just adds to the conversations.
Totally. Nice.
And that's a wrap of season one.